The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from
heaven. Got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew and muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat, and blood, and tears, and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
This is Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Dr. White is presenting a series of sermons about Christian generosity, and we're calling it Taking Part with a Generous Heart. Today, Dr. White is continuing a message from yesterday's broadcast. Here's Dr. White to introduce today's portion of the sermon.
And welcome to this Friday broadcast. Yesterday we did begin not only a sermon, but a new sermon series called Taking Part with a Generous Heart. In this series, I'm looking at what I call the generosity chapters, 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. And yesterday we began looking at verses 1 through 7, and we saw the Macedonian believers. They were gathering an offering for the poor in Jerusalem. They were in the midst of a famine in Jerusalem, and they were outcasts, the believers were. And by the grace of God, the scripture says the manifold grace of God. One of the graces that God gives us is to make us generous. And God did that in the heart of the Macedonians, and they became the example of generosity. This is our subject this morning as we continue. The setting was a famine in Jerusalem. The source of the giving was the grace of God. Now we look at the scene from 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 7. It was a scene of begging. They gave of their own accord. Nobody forced them into it, those Macedonian churches. They gave on their own, under their own authority. In fact, down in verse 8, says, I am not speaking this as a command. You're going to find this theme come up so many times in chapters 8 and 9. It's not a command here. I'm not trying to guilt you into anything or force you into anything or legalize anything. What I want to say is, here's a group of people that received a grace, and that was a grace that would take an inability and negative circumstances and find a way to use that in such a positive manner that it overflowed into a wealth of liberality. And so they gave, these Macedonian churches, according to their own power, beyond their own power, they gave in their own authority, in their own desire, in their own will. In fact, they gave to the extent that in verse 4 it says they were begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. Begging us. Can we give? Now, we really don't know the story here, but I think I can read between the lines just a little bit. I think that it came about that they heard that these saints in Jerusalem were hurting and were needy, and They said, you know what, we owe all that we have to them. In fact, maybe they began to remember, and again, I'm going to read a little more into this than the scripture says, but maybe they began to say, you know what, I was walking in darkness. I didn't have a hope in the world, but I was searching for something, one of those Macedonian believers perhaps was saying. I was searching. I was looking. In fact, they would maybe even be saying, I was just looking up into the sky and saying, God, if you are there, would you reveal yourself? Would you show yourself to me? And as I was praying, they said, there was Paul over across the sea on the other side, and he was about to go somewhere else, but the Holy Spirit, for some reason, while I was praying for a messenger to come and give me the will of God, that someone over there, Paul, was about to go somewhere else, but for some reason the Holy Spirit stopped him and gave him a vision that said, come over to Macedonia and help us.
And Paul followed that call. Send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light. And the gospel was sent to Macedonia, that Macedonian call. And probably as they began to give the testimony, they said, you know what? I've lost everything that I've had ever since then. I didn't have much, but I've lost it all as I've come into the faith. But you know what? There's Paul. There's that Jew of Jews who came and gave up all of that, took the Messiah himself, had a life-changing experience. And now he travels all the way over here. This guy from Jerusalem travels over here to tell me about the gospel. And now his kinfolk are hungry and are needy. Says, you know what? I don't have any money, but I want to take part in it. And I just imagine as Paul, then they come and tell Paul the story and they give him the offering. I suppose that Paul says, no, you don't have any yourselves. You can't do this. I'll go down to Corinth. We'll get some from there. They've got plenty down there. They can give, but man, you have nothing. You can't be giving. You need to take this money and use it for yourself and your own family. And they said, no, we beg you. And they begged him with much urging for the favor of participation. Now, here they are begging for the favor. You know that word favor? It's that word that comes up over and over in chapters 8 and 9. It's the word grace. Let us have the grace of participation. God has graced us, and we just can't hold it in. We've got to be generous givers. And they beg him for the grace of participation. There's a word that doesn't come through fully in English either. That's a word, if you know any Greek at all, you probably heard the word koinonia. Koinonia is that fellowship word. It's a deep interconnection. And he says there would be a grace in our lives if you would allow us to have a deep connection with the saints who are in Jerusalem. We want to have a spiritual bond coming together as brothers and sisters in Christ, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. And they beg him for this opportunity to have the grace of koinonia in the support of the saints. So let's sort of translate it this way. Begging for the grace of koinonia in the support. The word there is the word diaconia. That's a word we use in church sometimes, even to this modern day. Diaconia sounds an awful lot like deacon. That's right. This is the word that is used here. In the diaconia, that is the service, the ministry, the support. It's the role of the deacon, and it says that's the role that we want to play here. We want to have a diaconia, a service, a supporting, a ministering kind of role that we can carry out with the saints who are in Jerusalem. They beg us with much urging for the grace of a koinonia in the ministry, service, support of the saints who are back in Jerusalem. Here we see them longing for this grace of fellowship in the service of the saints.
Randy White Ministries has a free DVD with 90 minutes of Dr. White's teaching on the very interesting and relevant subject of the Antichrist. To receive this free offer, give us a call today. The toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. When you request the DVD, we will also put you on our mailing list so that you can receive regular articles, devotional material, and even sermon CDs that Dr. White sends out free of charge several times each year. Once again, call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-4-DR-WHITE.
Now, that's the scene. That's a pretty good display of grace, isn't it? A lot better than let's just gather together and talk about grace or preach about grace or study about grace. But here is grace seen in their lives, displayed in their lives in such a powerful way. What's at the bottom of all this outside of the grace of God? What is it? What's the starting place? We see it in verse 5, the support for all of this, where it says, and this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. That's the secret and the support to it all, isn't it? They first gave themselves. How many of you have ever, you don't have to confess, I'm going to here in just a minute, but you don't have to. But how many of you have ever given your money before you gave yourself? Probably have, haven't you? And it's a sense of being able to buy out. I don't want to give myself, so I'm going to buy out. And here's how it worked in my life. I remember when our kids were a little younger and they were still in the community basketball and baseball and all those kind of things, you remember? And you'd sign up for those and pay your dues, and then they'd say, now, you have to sell stuff too. And here's the catalog. You can go sell to your friends and family and neighbors. You can sell them wrapping paper and light bulbs and a candy bar to boot. And go up and down the streets of your neighborhood and sell this stuff. Or you can write a check for X number of dollars. You know what I always chose to do? I'm writing a check. I'll buy out of that one. I gave it the door. I'm done. Right? Now, we do that sometimes, don't we? Whether it's in church or in some form or fashion of benevolent work, or maybe even with a friend. We don't want to do something, but, you know, we gave them a gift. Now they'll be back off our back. Whatever it is, we give our money before we give of ourselves. Now, when we do that, we don't really care about the issue very much, do we? And we don't really care to be involved. In fact, that's why we gave the money. But if you're ever to have a generous spirit, you can't start with the money. If you're going to have a generous spirit, you're going to have to start with your heart and have to start with yourself. For where a man's treasure is, there where his heart be, and his heart will also reveal a treasure. And so here we see that in verse 5, he says, they gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. It's the right thing to do. Give yourself to the Lord and to the apostles here, to the church. Here I am afraid sometimes in our own society, let me chase a little rabbit for just a second. I'm afraid sometimes in our own society, there are many people who claim to have given themselves to the Lord, but they've never given themselves to the church. I have a great relationship with God, but I don't need the church. I don't need that pastor. I don't need that spiritual authority. I think it's key here that the Holy Spirit was careful to say they gave themselves to the Lord and to us. There was a commitment to the apostles and to the spiritual authority that was given there. And that's what they did first. That was at the bottom of it all. There's an old poem that was written that says, nothing that I have, my own I call. I hold it for the giver. My heart, my strength, my life, my all are his and his forever. It's not mine anymore. I gave my life. Paul used to call himself a bond servant. Do you remember? Now, a bond servant's a little different than a slave, actually. A bond servant is one who has sold themselves into slavery. They have chosen indentured servanthood, and they have given themselves to their master. Paul called himself a bond servant. Now, that is giving yourself unto the Lord. I've sold myself into slavery for his purposes. I'm his indentured servant. I'm a bond servant for the Lord. Have you ever noticed that it's easier to give away other people's stuff than yours? I don't mind committing you to something, whether it's your time or your money. You know, I'd give away your stuff all day long, right? But you get to talking about my stuff, whether it's my time or my money or whatever the asset may be. All of a sudden, that's a little more difficult. But what of the person who comes and he has already given all that he has or ever hopes to be? He's given that away to the Lord. Then, you know, you're really not giving away your stuff, are you? You're giving away his stuff. And it's not so hard because, after all, you say, my father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands. And all of it being his, you're able to overflow in a generosity of spirit. Now, if you find yourself not having that generosity of spirit, not following that example of the Macedonians, I'd have you look to these two things. First of all, the grace of God that was upon the Macedonians, that grace of giving. And secondly, that sold out nature, having given all that you have or ever hope to be, giving all of your assets over to him. If you haven't given it all, then just sell out to him. Or if you just have a hard time, you hold on more than you let go, just begin to say, God, would you give me the grace of giving? You have already given me the grace of salvation.
Some of these other graces are mine, but would you give me the grace of giving like you gave it to the Macedonian believers?
Our broadcast will continue in just a moment. I'm sure you know that these broadcasts are expensive to produce and distribute on the radio and internet. It is faithful friends like you who help make this ministry possible. We have a group of supporters in our Club 8 program who donate a simple $8 each month for the support of this ministry. While $8 does not seem like a lot of money, these supporters really are the basis of this ministry. Would you consider joining the ranks of those who give this $8 gift? When you join Club 8, you will receive Dr. White's book, The Antichrist, absolutely free. To join, click the Club 8 tab on our website, www.randywhiteministries.org, or call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Once again, that's 1-855-437-9448. Dr. White is grateful that you are willing to help keep this broadcast ministry of conservative, convictional Bible teaching on the air. Now, let's get back to our broadcast.
Now, we come down to verses 6 and 7 to finish out this little passage of Scripture, and we come to what I'll call the sermon. The sermon. You see, everything I've given you before is really just the introduction. Here comes the sermon. Verse 6, he turns his attention. He says, I've been talking about the Macedonians. Now I want to talk about you. Like Nathan, when he gave that illustration to David about the little sheep, you remember? And David said, that man, he ought to be punished to the full extent of the law. And that's where Nathan turned and began to give the sermon and said, thou art the man. Now here's the illustration. He turns and he gives the sermon in verse 6. So we urged Titus, that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. Titus, he was going to collect the offering. Titus had previously made a beginning. That is, he had been to the Corinthian church, and you read about it in 1 Corinthians, where Titus had come and the instruction was there to gather an offering for the saints in Jerusalem, the manner in which they were to gather it. All the instruction is there in 1 Corinthians, I believe chapter 11. You can go back and study it. So the work had begun. Now they were just coming to pay up on the pledge, so to speak. And they had made a pledge about a year earlier. They said, we're going to give and give a generous offering. I don't know if they committed amount or just committed to give, but they made a pledge. Don't be scared of pledges to God, by the way, in this regard. Some people say, oh, I never make a pledge. Well, the Corinthian church made a pledge, and Paul said, hey, now it's time for you to make good on it. You make pledges all the time, don't you? If you use a credit card, you make a pledge, or write a check, you make a pledge, or if you rent a house, you make a pledge. I mean, we make pledges all the time. So here he says, complete that gracious work. God did a gracious work a year ago in your heart when you made that pledge. Now it's time to complete it. You say, I'm going to let God complete it. That doesn't really go. So, well, yeah, Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work will complete it in you. Well, it's talking about something else. God who began a work in you is going to complete it, but he says, this is a pledge you began. You did it out of a work of grace that God had worked in your life, but you're the one of your own accord, under your own authority, you made a pledge. He says, now's the time to abound in that pledge. Now's the time to come through with it. And so I'll send Titus to gather the collection in verse 7. He says, just as you abound in everything. That word abound is the second most used word of significance in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. The first word is grace. The second word is abound. We're going to see it over and over. In fact, we've already seen it in verse 2, the abundance of joy and the overflowing into the wealth of liberality. That's the same root word as we see here in verse 7. Twice it comes up in verse 7 for the word abound. We're going to see it come up over and over in these two chapters. He says, just as you abound in everything. He does mean everything. You abounded in joy. You abounded in deep poverty. You abounded in an ordeal of affliction. Now he lists some other things that they abound in. He says, you abound in faith and in utterance. That is, in word. You know anybody who abounds in talking a lot? He says, you abound in your proclamation of the gospel. Good for you. You abound in knowledge. I wonder sometimes if this list could be used of the modern church today. Do they abound in knowledge? Or would the modern church simply fail a basic Bible quiz?
We ought to abound in our knowledge. Sometimes in the church today, I feel like there is even a backlash towards the deep things of teaching and knowledge. No, we're not interested in that. Just give us a good story and a nice joke and send us on our way. We'll be happy all day long. We'll come back next week. But dig in deep. Well, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. You know why you don't know what you're talking about? What I'm talking about? Because you never open your Bible and study. That's why. Because you don't abound in knowledge. He says, Corinthian church, good for you. You abound in faith, in utterance, and in knowledge, and in earnestness, and in the love we inspired to you. He lists these things. And then the point of his sermon, he says, see that you abound in this gracious work also. Make sure that in this work of generosity, this grace of generosity that's been given to the Macedonian churches, and I believe been given to the Corinthian church as well, he says, see that you abound. Now, for the sermon, for us, a grace of generosity. I wonder if our church has it. Are we like the Macedonian churches that say, hey, if there's a need financially, we want to meet it regardless of what our own depth of poverty or ordeal of affliction may be, whatever the own status is right here, we want to abound in this gracious work also. But what about on an individual level? Do you have that grace of generosity? Is that just a part of your heart, or are you more of a stingy, miserly person? Get all you can and can all you get and sit on the can, right? Has God woven in you a grace of generosity? If so, rejoice. If not, ask him for it. God, you've graced me in so many ways. Would you grace me in that way? Would you make me a generous person with a generous heart? And then I ask the question about being sold out. Are you there? First, you gave yourself to the Lord. Makes everything else so much easier. Would you say, you know, I want to do that, or I've tried to do that. I've honestly never been there, or I've backed off of that. But now, even this morning, at the beginning of this little series of sermons on 2 Corinthians, you say, I like what I see in those Macedonian churches and believers. And when I look in the mirror, I want to see a Macedonian kind of believer, sold out to the Lord and the apostles' work, given to all these graces, especially shown here is the grace of the wealth of liberality. Lord, may that be me.
Indeed, that is our prayer. May that be me. And our prayer is that we would see the example of the Macedonians. They didn't have much, but they did have an abundance of joy, coupled with a deep poverty. And through a great deal of affliction, it was overflowing into the wealth of generosity. May that be me. I want to remind you this week, we've got a special. It's a telephone-only special, so you'll have to call us to get it. It's two booklets. My book on the faith of Benjamin Franklin, learn whether he was a born-again believer or not. And my booklet on Doubting Thomas, it'll encourage you. It's called The Three Statements of Thomas. Both of them normally sell for $7.95. But if you call us, we'll send both of them for $12. The phone call is free. Shipping and handling is free. Both books for $12. And I believe you'll be blessed. Call us 1-855-437-9448. We'll repeat the number in just a moment. We'll pick up Monday, looking once again at 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. May God bless you until then.
We hope you've been blessed from today's edition of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Please contact us today, toll-free, at 1-855-437-9448. Our website is www.randywhiteministries.org, where you can sign up for Dr. White's daily devotional or weekly doctrinal email. If you would like to write us, our address is 600 Pin Oak Road, Katy, Texas, 77494. Until tomorrow, Thank you for joining us on Word for the World.